You're listening to the Better for America podcast, presented by AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rebecca Weber, and this is your AMAC podcast, Better for America. Here at AMAC, we are committed to working for you, over 2 million AMAC members, and I want to thank you for contributing to our AMAC weekly poll. We asked you, which of the following issues would you like to see AMAC action prioritize? And we asked for you to choose three. And here's what you told us. You all said, number one, stop critical race theory. Stop that dangerous indoctrination of our children in the schools. So that was your number one sort of issue of priority. The second, election integrity. You folks understand that free and fair elections are necessary. And, you know, we just don't have a country if it's not for the people, by the people. That is who we are as a United States of America. We are a republic. And it is really important that the federal government doesn't step in and take over. H.R. 1, S. 1, these are important bills that you folks need to know about. Because of our AMAC members, we have had so much success on the election integrity front. And we're going to talk to Congresswoman Lesko in just a little bit on that bill. The third issue, folks, that you care about very much is illegal immigration. And we know that what the Biden administration is doing is dangerous. I'm going to share with you a video that you need to watch. You'll hear Kamala Harris. She's double talking. She told and promised people one thing when she was running and another thing in the video that you'll see. But we understand, too, that you care about the censorship of your First Amendment rights by big technology and that you want your constitutional rights protected, like the right to bear arms and your right to religious freedom. You care, I care, about protecting the sanctity of life from conception to natural death. So, folks, if you haven't joined or renewed your AMAC membership, these are the very issues that we work on. We need you. We need more members in order to be effective. When we can go to Washington and say we have 5 million members, that gives us a very strong muscle, and they have to listen to us. We don't let them play political football with the issues that affect you and me. What I love about this podcast is we often invite our elected representatives to join us because, after all, when it comes down to the issues, we need to talk to the people that we voted in office who are really responsible for protecting our liberties. That's why they're there. That's why we have our branches of government. So at AMAC, we think it's really important that you hear from the people that are impacting the future of America. Congresswoman Debbie Lesko is one of my favorite congresspeople. She really is. You'll see why. She's got tremendous energy. She knows what the issues are. She is the representative of Arizona's 8th Congressional District, where we have nearly 12,000 members just in her district alone. We've got over 75,000 AMAC members in the state of Arizona. Debbie has been a close friend of AMAC's over the past few years because when we talk to her about the issues, she goes to work. We have worked with her on several of her bills. So today we're here to talk about what is happening regarding the border. You'll hear a little bit about the Hyde Amendment, and we'll talk to her about H.R. 1 and S. 1. But before we get into the interview today, I would like to thank our sponsor, the AMAC News app. Folks, if you have already heard about the AMAC News app, hopefully you're enjoying it. And if you haven't, you need to go to your smartphone and download the News app because you can get all of these podcasts and great articles from our writers right on your smartphone. Here's how to download the app. If you have an iPhone or an iPad, tap on the App Store. If you are an Android user, tap on Google Play. Choose search and type in AMAC. That's AMAC. And you'll see us. It's a red icon. Go ahead and download it. It's free. We don't get your take any information. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. It's as simple as that. Please don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe and share this podcast wherever you stream. If you're not a member already, please visit our website at amac.us to join now. and get in the fight to save our country. And if you are a member, please let all of your friends and family know about us and encourage them to know. I do want to share with you one quick tidbit. Did you know that former President Trump's birthday was June 14th? He turned 75 years old. Happy birthday, Donald Trump. Now we, and that means you, all of us here at AMAC, including our AMAC members, sent a beautiful birthday letter signed by AMAC members, and we told him that it was the perfect coincidence that his birthday was on one of the most patriotic days. And we thought that that was cool. That was Flag Day, June 14th. And Flag Day is the day that we commemorate the official adoption of the Stars and Stripes by the United States Congress. Now, no president in our lifetime has sacrificed more or worked harder than Donald Trump to keep Old Glory flying high and proud over a safe and prosperous country. So AMAC members sent Donald Trump a thank you. Thank you, Mr. President, for restoring our national pride, our spirit of patriotism, and yes, our very identity as Americans. I'll be right back, folks, with Debbie Lesko. So, folks, as I said before, Congresswoman Debbie Lesko is a representative of Arizona's 8th Congressional District. Now, in May of 2018, she was sworn into the House of Representatives. But before she became a Congresswoman, she served in the Arizona legislature for 9 years, and her last 3 years were served in the Arizona Senate. She lives in Peoria. Correct me, did I say that right, Congresswoman, Arizona?
Yeah, Peoria, Arizona.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. With her husband, Joe, and their three beautiful children. And Congresswoman, we know that Arizona is right on the U.S.-Mexico border. And we understand that a key issue that you are a firm believer in is securing our border. So I want to thank you for being with us today. We want to talk to you about the issue at the border. We want to hear it live from you. And before I turn to you with a few questions, I want to remind our listeners that FBI Director Christopher Wray told lawmakers that there's no question that cartel activity is spilling over the border. The FBI director was asked at a hearing before the House Judiciary Committee, he was asked, is it true that many of the foreign nationals, these are foreign nationals or people who are not citizens of the U.S., who are being trafficked across our border, often arrive here deeply indebted to Mexican crime cartels? And he said, there's no question. And he even referred to this as a modern form of slavery, saying it's almost medieval. So, Congresswoman, I want to ask you, I know you have been so involved in the immigration issue. It is of extreme importance to Arizona and over 12,000 AMAC members in your district alone. How are cities and your towns being affected by the influx of immigrants crossing the border?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. And I'm an AMAC member. I think it's an awesome organization. And you have such great members. I'm always enjoyed talking to them. So thank you for asking me to be involved in these questions and answers. Arizona, as you said, is right on the Mexico-U.S. border. And so what happens on the border affects Arizona more so than probably the rest of the country, although the entire country is being affected. And you're right, Christopher Wray, the FBI director, said, of course, the cartels are involved. I mean, everybody knows that except, I guess, Kamala Harris and President Biden. Fentanyl seizures. I heard that they've gone up 800% in just the first 4 months of 2021, more than all the last 4 years combined. I mean, even if you're for these illegal immigrants coming over our border, flooding the border, I would hope that you're not for increasing fentanyl coming across our border and killing American citizens. The taxpayers are paying for all of this illegal immigration, this huge surge. What was it? 180,000 illegal immigrants were encountered by the Customs and Border Patrol just in May alone. That is raised from the $178,000before that. And I think it compares to only $23,000 in May of 2020 when President Trump was the president. And so President Biden and Kamala Harris and the Democrats' policies on the border are causing this problem. It's a humanitarian problem, humanitarian problem for the illegal immigrants. Women are getting raped. Girls are getting raped. People are getting trafficked at the hands of cartels. It's a economic problem for Americans because they're taking away American jobs. It's an economic problem because we have illegal immigrants that we have to pay for in hospitals and in our schools.
Yeah,
this is a crisis all around.
It really, really is. And I applaud you for saying it and for having the courage to say it, because people like me and of course, those people in Arizona, we need to care about America and put America first. We really do. And there's no shame in doing the right thing by our American citizens. It is absolutely ridiculous that Kamala Harris, in my opinion, she sort of, when she was running, she ran on, look at the terrible atrocity at the border wall and all the children that are being separated from families. But the truth of the matter is it has gotten so much worse. And she has been appointed border czar for, I think it's over 75 days now. And instead of going to the southern border to really look at and witness with her own eyes and report the truth to the American people, she decided to go to Guatemala to study root causes of illegal immigration. One day before her journey, the Guatemalan president said, "We're not on the same side of the coin," meaning the Biden administration is not on the same side of the coin as Guatemalan president is on this issue. And he even told CBS News that her message said, and their message was, "We're going to reunite families. We're going to reunite children." And so the very next day, the coyotes were organizing groups of children to take them to the United States. I thought it was shocking to see, it really wasn't shocking, but I was surprised to see how she was greeted. What did you think of the way that Kamala Harris was greeted upon arrival to Guatemala?
Well, Kamala Harris, being the border czar, is a total joke. I mean, she can go to Guatemala all she wants and tell people to stop coming to the border, but her words don't, add up to what their actions are. And their actions are the border is totally open. I talked to Border Patrol agent chiefs in both the Yuma, Arizona, and Tucson, Arizona border sectors. They said this is the worst they have ever seen, ever. And they have worked there for 26 years, and this is absolutely ridiculous.
We've got to listen to the experts, like you said.
Even NBC, which is pretty darn liberal, Lester right. Holt asked, "Why haven't you been to the border? I mean, you're the border czar. Why haven't you even been to the border?" And she like cackles. I mean, it really is a cackle that is very
odd,
uppity, if you ask me, saying, "Well, I haven't been to Europe either."
Right.
What kind of answer is that? Here we have a crisis at the border. Women are being raped. Girls are being raped. People are being human trafficked. We have thousands and thousands of people flooding over our border. We don't even know who they are. A lot of them don't even have court dates to show up. Our laws, our immigration laws, are totally not being followed. This is a total disaster. And Biden is to blame. The Democrats are to blame.
They are. And I'm going to share with our listeners and those that are watching a brief video, her messaging. Just take a look at this.
And I want to emphasize that the goal of our work is to help Guatemalans find hope at home. At the same time, I want to be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border. Do not come. Do not come. The United States will continue to enforce our laws and secure our border. There are legal methods by which migration can and should occur. But we, as one of our priorities, will discourage illegal migration. And I believe if you come to our border, you will be turned back. So let's discourage our friends, our neighbors, our family members from embarking on what is otherwise an extremely dangerous journey, where in large part the only people who benefit are coyotes.
So based off of the promises that the administration campaigned on, compared to her statement in Guatemala, where she's telling people, don't come, I discourage it, I believe you're going to be turned back. I just think, you know, now she's saying don't come, but they sent a completely different message. That is Biden and Harris when they were running. It's mind blowing. And I think American people are finally waking up. She believes that they will be turned back. She used the words, she's using words to discourage people, but it's almost too late. I think that if they just put the Trump policies back in place, the Remain in Mexico policies that worked, she could fix this almost overnight. And they just have such a disdain and hatred for anything Trump did, all of the good that he did. It's good that we've got you who's speaking out, Congresswoman. It is so important. I want to just change subjects quickly here because our members do care so much about, their Medicare coverage and their Social Security. And we recently signed a letter in support of your resolution calling for Medicare and Social Security to be strengthened for future generations. I want to thank you for that, because we know that if we don't pay attention to Social Security, for example, it's possible that we won't see benefits, or our benefits will be reduced. Could you tell us a little bit more about this resolution and what you're hoping to accomplish?
Yes, thank you so much to AMAC for supporting my legislation to protect and secure Medicare and Social Security for not only current retirees, but future retirees. And this is a huge problem, and nobody really wants to talk about it because it's a political difficulty in talking about it. But this is an issue that I believe Republicans and Democrats need to work together to solve, because if we do not solve it, the funding for Medicare and Social Security is going to run out, and it's too important. This is one of the issues that Republicans and Democrats have to work together, because if we don't work together on it, the other party is going to use it on campaign time and say we're trying to take away Medicare and Social Security. I worked on pension reform, public pension reform, when I was in the state Senate, in Arizona State Senate. It took me a year and a half to negotiate with the unions, with conservative groups. And we changed things in a very small way that actuarially made a big difference years down the road. And that's probably something we need to start looking at, and not just, closing our eyes and thinking there's not going to be a problem. We need to make sure that Social Security and Medicare are protected for future generations, but we also need to ensure that current retirees and retirees that are coming up soon do not get affected at all. And this is something everybody knows. Republicans and Democrats know we have to fix it, but nobody wants to fix it because it is used politically against us on elections. And so I hope to be a part of the solution to protect Medicare and Social Security.
Thank you. And we will continue to keep our members and our listeners apprised. That is very important work, and we're behind you 100%. We recently saw your op-ed that was published on Fox News. discussing the Biden administration's failure to safeguard taxpayer dollars from funding abortions. Now, this is an issue that really, really burns me to the core. I am a pro-life mother, and I know that our members are outraged by the administration's complete disregard for life. I have no problem with Kamala Harris, for example, going to a Pride march. I do have a problem when she doesn't show up at a March to Life or acknowledge a right to life rally. It is absolutely, I mean, folks that are listening, I mean, our members understand it and they see it. How can you pretend to be a compassionate person when you completely disregard life in the womb, in a third trimester, for example? So I know that the Hyde Amendment is a budget rider that prevents the federal funding from going towards abortion. But Joe Biden, he used to support the Hyde Amendment for decades while he was in the Senate. And then during his first few months of office, he called for it to be ended. Nancy Pelosi has vowed to pass free taxpayer-funded abortions for Medicaid recipients in this year's spending bills. And we see that the president has proposed budgets to that fail to include the Hyde Amendment protections. What are your thoughts? And can you comment on that op-ed that we read?
Yeah, there's a clear difference between Republicans and Democrats on pro-life issues. And I hope that your listeners, including Hispanic listeners, really see that difference, because many of the Hispanics that I know and go to church with are very pro-life people. And the Democrat Party is no longer pro-life. In fact, they're pro-death. And so when they take away what's called the Hyde Amendment that prohibits taxpayer funding for abortions, now the Democrats, including Biden, want to take out that protection. They're pushing for that. This is just unconscionable. You know, there's nothing more precious than life. And saving the lives of a little innocent baby. And more, I see my Democrat colleagues pushing for more protections for killing these little innocent babies. And it's just wrong. It's wrong morally. And I had to speak up. I had to speak up because, for goodness sakes, if we're not going to protect the lives of innocent babies, what are we doing here?
Yeah, that is, and you know, you almost just have to pause and think, you know, we ought to be compassionate for the most vulnerable. And I talk to a lot of people, a lot of pro-life folks, and it seems like we've got to be able to at least say, hey, you know, can't we draw a line? We know babies feel pain at 16 weeks. We know that that the gender, fingerprints, heartbeat, babies are sucking. You know, this is all science. So why are they want to ignore this science? And again, they use it as a political thing. And the saddest thing, you know, I'm a mother and now newly a grandmother. And I think to a beautiful baby girl. And I think to myself, what message are we teaching our young girls? Since when did children become a burden instead of a blessing? So, Congresswoman, just last weekend on our website, we put out a really interesting poll. We asked AMAC members to choose which issues they felt were most pressing and that they would like to see prioritized. They chose critical race theory. Now, our members, they're 50 and older. Average age of our members is about 60 years old. And so most folks in their 60s, they don't have children in school. Yet our AMAC members said, this is such an important issue, critical race theory and the teaching and indoctrination in our school systems was of number one importance. Number two for them was, number three was election integrity. Number two was election integrity. Number three was illegal immigration, which we spoke about. And of course, their other concern is the censorship and the attack on freedoms like our Second Amendment, right to bear arms, and our freedom of religion. So I want to ask you, Congresswoman, can you tell us a little bit, educate us a little bit about critical race theory and how you see this as such a bad thing for our country?
Well, teachers should be teaching the basics of education because in Arizona, oftentimes our kids are not being taught. They're not even getting ready for college. And so when they hit the college level, they have to take all these remedial courses that, of course, the colleges charge students for just to catch up so they can start their regular college courses. I mean, this has been going on for years and years. And instead of teaching what these kids need to know in order to get a job and compete in a worldwide market where we're competing against China and India and other countries, they are fooling around and teaching kids that there's systemic racism. There is not systemic racism in America. I totally disagree with the Democrats' premise on that. Are there some racists? Of course there are, and they need to be dealt with appropriately. But we're not all racist. And so teaching our children, our young children, this premise that somehow we're all racist is just a bunch of baloney. And they need to stay out of that and actually teach the basic math, English, science, so that our kids can get a job and compete. This is absolutely insanity. And I'm glad that parents are speaking up. They're speaking up in my district, in my school districts, and they're pushing back. And it's motivating parents to run for school board and just turn this all around. And I thank God for that.
Yeah, we are so active on the state level. Whatever it is that we can do, that AMAC can do, we want to be there. And we are activating a campaign. It'll be a campaign at the state level, and we are going to help our AMAC members in their states get in front of their school boards, get in front of their superintendents, the teachers, and so forth, to say, no more, because what's happening is right behind our backs, right? You send your child off to school, and we all know as parents how that feels when you have to say goodbye to your son or daughter, especially when they're so little, and it's so new for them. And you hope and pray that they're in a place where they're being built up, where their character is being built up, where they're being judged by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin. And you and I see it, and it's a sad shame. I hate that it's the truth, but the truth of the matter is that there's a far left that's looking to change the heartbeat of America and recreate who we are as a people. And they're doing that, and they're starting in the school systems, going after these young children. By the time they get to high school now, they've already adopted some of these views that are so unhealthy. And it's almost like, I mean, I hate to say child abuse, but when you confuse a child this way and make them feel that they're an oppressor at the age of five, when let's say they've known this little child, and you know, children don't see color. So why do we want to do that? And isn't that what critical race theory does, Congresswoman? Doesn't it really point out who you are in terms of how you look versus your character?
Critical race theory is a false notion that there's systemic racism, right? And it categorizes people based on their race. That's wrong. That's wrong. Absolutely opposite of what Martin Luther King taught, that we shouldn't be based on a race. So I think it's racist itself. I co-sponsored a bill that would take away federal funding from any schools that teach critical race theory. It's wrong. We should be concentrating on educating our children.
Thank you. We sure should. I have one final question for you, Congresswoman. AMAC's working very hard to push back on H.R. 1 and its companion bill S.1 in the Senate. This is an egregious federal takeover of our elections. So it essentially automatically registers people to vote at a young age. It does not require. It says, you know, you don't need to show voter ID. It allows for ballot harvesting. And there are some other provisions in this bill that further attack our freedom of speech and censorship. Can you tell us where you stand on the issue and what you think may happen with S1 in the Senate?
I'm totally opposed to HR 1 and S1, which will nationalize election in favor of the Democrats keeping power virtually forever. And that's what this bill does. It's not about election integrity like Republicans are trying to put forward. It's actually the opposite. So, for instance, in Arizona, we require ID to vote. This bill would undo that. And it would say it would prohibit states from requiring voter IDs. Also in the state of Arizona, we have prohibited ballot harvesting, where groups can just go around collecting a bunch of ballots and you hope that they turn them in. But who knows if these people, these random people, will open up the ballot and go, oh, that's a Republican. I'm not even going to turn it in. I mean, these things could lead to fraud and corruption. And they are saying on a nationwide basis, they want to legalize ballot harvesting, prohibit states from requiring voter ID, want to send out mail-in ballots to anybody and everybody. They're actually doing all the things that could lead to corruption and fraud. It's awful. And then in addition to that, in this bill, they're going to have taxpayer-funded campaigns for congressional members. So can you imagine that AMAC members, their taxpayer dollars will be going to funding Nancy Pelosi's reelection?
That's right.
I don't think your members are going to like that at all.
Our members have been so active. I want to thank them, all of them, for getting involved, for reaching out to your senators, for we've sent out over, I believe it's over 200,000 emails, over the last 3 to 4 months. We're making sure that our voice is being heard because, you know, here's where it's at. And I know you see it, Congresswoman. Essentially, the Biden administration wants to let illegals in. Then it seems that they want the federal government to perhaps figure out a way to let them vote. They want to incentivize people who come over and keep people home and out of the workplace by paying tons of unemployment. It almost seems like when you look at it, you can't help but think, aren't they ruining America? And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but it just doesn't make sense. I look at it and I say, well, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, right? And these policies that the Biden administration has put in place and his support of bills like H.R. 1 are not good for America. And so, Congresswoman, I want to thank you because you have been a tremendous support to our members in Arizona. You do such a good work there. We need more people like you. I just want to thank you for your courage and for your willingness to speak with us today to really deliver us the truth on these very, very important issues.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you to the AMAC members, and keep fighting because I'm here in Congress to save our nation. And I think that's why people joined AMAC, is they want to save our country. We have the greatest nation in the world. And the policies that some of my Democratic colleagues and the Biden administration and Kamala Harris are pushing are definitely going to ruin our country. And we cannot just sit by and be silent. We can no longer be the silent majority. We need to speak out and we need to fight for our freedoms and for our rights and for America. So God bless you.
Yeah, thank you. And fight we will. Thanks again, and to all of you listening today to AMAC's podcast, Better for America, thank you for joining us, and we look forward to having you back with us again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Better for America podcast. To learn more about AMAC and all it has to offer, visit us at www.amac.us.